Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now to part two of our brand new Open House series, Towards Belief. We kicked it off last week looking at some of the main blockers to Christian faith. In this series, we're looking at the way a brand new program called Towards Belief deals with tough questions like church abuse, the hypocrisy of Christians, religious wars, exclusivism, is it the only way to truth, and judgmentalism, a whole lot of issues. Carl Fayes from Olive Tree Media hosts the program and DVD series. Tonight we're going to look at the challenging question of miracles, a big hurdle for lots of people to jump, to accept that the miracles of Jesus, indeed miracles in this day and age, have actually happened. If you have a story of the miraculous in your life, we'd love you to share it with us. Or if this question is a stumbling block for you, sometimes I'd say for many good reasons, we'd love to hear from you. Carl's up for any and all questions on this or some of the other big blockers of Christian faith over this series. Give us a call, 1-300-40-2020. Carl, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Lee.
Oh, it's great to see you. Carl, first, for those who perhaps missed part one of the series last week, give us an overview of Towards Belief. Where did it come from? What's it aim at achieving?
Well, it's that whole idea that within the wider community, there are people that are open to faith, but they, in a sense, they're open to belief because our research shows that people are. They're not necessarily all violently kind of or negative against Christian faith and belief, but they're just things that block them from taking further steps. And there are plenty of reasonable answers to those blockers. So what we're trying to do is to give a reasoned response to the key blockers that came out of the research that we did.
Yeah, and it's an important point to make that this is based on sound research. It's not just, oh, well, what Carl thinks are the main blockers to...
Yeah, because we had a think tank right at the beginning, and one of the guys in the think tank said, you know, there's a lot of commentary on this. There's not a lot of research. Yeah. So while the research is, you know, it's not humongous in that we've got thousands and thousands of thousands of people, but McCrindle Research researched more than 1,000 people across Australia, and we also did three focus groups and defined what were the key blockers. And the interesting thing is, you know, Lee, as we chatted last week, there are the classic questions that have always been there.
Yes.
But the new blockers, as it were, I think, which have developed over the last maybe generation, is actually wrapped around the church.
Yeah. Three overarching groups this is aimed at: those who are spectators to Christian faith, those who are Christian already, and also the church is a bit of a target for this series.
Yes, because I actually think the church in general, lots of people who are Christians in our community, certainly in Australia, probably across the Western world, are a bit kind of beaten into silence. You know, that they don't agree with Richard Dawkins. They don't even read his books. But boy, he comes across as being very negative, very antagonistic. And that, there's a ripple effect, as I keep saying, onto other people. And they see, you know, we're in the middle of the Church Abuse Commission, Royal Commission here in Australia. There's all of the issues that are wrapped around that. And it actually kind of means people almost withdraw a little and kind of they just need some confidence that it's reasonable to believe.
One of the interesting notable things that is part of Towards Belief, a lot of big names. You've gone around the world addressing some really big names.
Yeah, we've had the opportunity to go, certainly in Australia, but the opportunity to go into the UK. We've talked to people like Richard Swinburne, who's been teaching philosophy in Oxford University for 50 years. John Lennox, who's been out in Australia a couple of times. The Reverend Dr. and Sir John Polkinghorne. Nikki Gumbel from Alpha fame. In the US, we talked to Erwin McManus from Mosaic Church. We spoke also to Stanley Hauwes, who's actually, if you read some theology, he's really well known, and he was actually named by Time magazine in America as the best theologian in America. So these are brilliant people, and it was just a joy to speak to them.
Great stuff. So let's deal with the question of miracles. In the research you conducted, what are people saying about?
Well, there's this general response that it listed quite high as, we don't believe that the miraculous happens, or we don't believe the supernatural happens, and those two things kind of bump up against each other. There's an interesting thing about, is there a supernatural? Are there things called miracles? How do those two things layer across each other? Yes. So there's a general, I mean, I think Australians are sort of gloriously sceptical.
That's right. And, sometimes for good reasons.
Yeah. And I think that kind of rolls itself into faith and belief, and yes, we really struggle. And look, there are some stories that are told out there in general populace, where all of us kind of go, yeah, like Lee, you know, I have a few issues with extraterrestrial beings. That's a theological issue.
It's the same kind of basket.
Yeah, it is. And yet what? So, but I have no problems with what I read in the Bible. Yet other people would go, well, you know, they have problems with both.
See, from that perspective, the Bible and Christian faith is by definition supernatural.
Yes.
Even the event at the heart of Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus.
Well, and that's true. I mean, and like all the way through Scripture, you know, there's this. And if you go right back to the beginning, Lee, and here we believe in a God who created, and therefore we believe in a God who created and remains part of the created order and the world that we live in. We don't actually believe, I don't think, in a God that kind of created, spun the earth off into the universe, and then sits back there watching to see what will happen. We believe in a God that kind of intersects and involves himself within human history on a regular basis. And that's what the story of the Bible is, especially the Old Testament, where what you have is a whole bunch of people kind of their experience of God. And here is how God dealt with humanity and then dealt with his own people. I actually believe that still happens. That's still unfolding in history. God still involves himself in human history. Not in exactly the same way, because the Bible's obviously a unique sort of history of God's people and history of the person of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't involve himself. Therefore, if I believe that, and I believe it in the Bible, there's no reason that I couldn't look for it in this world now.
I'd be saying that even the sustaining of life, and if you understand any of the laws of so-called nature, for the world to be sustained, isn't that miraculous?
Well, absolutely. And one of the great minds, as I said before, we spoke to is Richard Swinburne. And in this piece, one of the points he makes is, like, the world itself, as you say, yeah, is kind of miraculous. I mean, yes, that's astounding. And as other great minds have said, the most incomprehensible thing about the world is that it's comprehensible.
Yes. If you'd like to join us, 1-300-40-2020 is our number. Laurie has rung in from Currajong, just west of Sydney. Hi, Laurie.
Hello, how are you going?
I'm fine, thanks. What would you like to say?
Well, I'm an advocate for the miraculous.
Yes.
On the grassroots level, I've seen the miraculous happen in Sydney, Australia. The last 3 years, I've seen out of about 300 people I've prayed for, at least 100 heal. I've seen a person who couldn't say his name from birth heal. I've seen cripples healed, deaf ears open, person had glaucoma healed, people have arthritis, and many have back problems healed miraculously. Last night at Royal North Shore Hospital, I was praying for a man who had acute leukemia. His wife was there, his daughter was there, other people were there. We've got an obligation to pray for the sick with faith, have faith in the name of Jesus, have faith in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's able to do exceedingly far beyond all we can imagine.
Laurie, thank you so much for your call. Thanks very much. Carl, your response to that?
What Laurie's saying is the experience of anybody that's involved in church and actually has believing prayer. What is tricky about this area, and this actually came up in some of the discussions, is it's not predictable.
Because he says, of the 300, 100 have been healed.
Yeah, and praise God for Laurie. That's a fantastic outcome.
And for the 100 who have.
Yeah, but we can't. I know Laurie's not saying this, but none of us can. And this is the struggle that people in the wider community have. We have Vox Pops where people are asked, you know, what do they think of this question as part of the series. And one of the Vox Pops is a guy who, in a relatively smug way, says, well, you know, if we believe in the miracles, will we go into hospital and say, well, let's turn the machine off? And you say you want to turn the machine off, and they say no. So they don't. He's responsible. Well, see, they don't really believe. It's a bit like saying, well, I don't think you get it. God is not a celestial kind of vending machine that you pop in the prayer and out pops the answer.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't work like that. But that actually makes it really complex because we can't pick where God will act or why, because he doesn't necessarily always act with the righteous. He doesn't always answer a specific kind of set prayer, but he does act, and that's the place that Laurie's talking about.
Sharon has called us on 1-300-40-2020. Hi, Sharon from Wollongong.
Yeah, hi. I've experienced firsthand a pretty amazing miracle myself. I was in Wambara, and I had a dream that was the beginning of it, and it was actually a bit like a nightmare, but it actually ended up happening. I had a dream that I was going to be in hospital and have a major ear infection, and I was actually heading up the Gold Coast to be with a guy that I thought was right for me. He was an atheist, but I ended up not getting that far, and I had my car broke down, and I just pretty much had a bit of a breakdown from the relationship, and I ended up in hospital for about 3-4 weeks, and then had an ear infection the day that I left hospital. It was just like, it was a quite horrific time, but God started to move after that. 2 weeks later, I was in Taree, and I got a flat in there, in Taree, and I just felt that God said, please, just come worship me because I'm going to heal you. And I just got on my knees and I put some worship music on and I started feeling an encounter with God that I've never experienced before. Just the Holy Spirit came upon me. My knee, I had an anterior cruciate that was really badly torn, and I felt tingles, like sort of, you know, like almost mineral water in my knee, and it just got better and better and stronger, and I could jump on it and it was completely and utterly healed. Then my back, I had severe arthritis and nerve root damage and was going to need a neurosurgeon on the top part, like it was quite bad. And I just said, Lord, if you're going to heal my knee, can you heal my back? And wow. I've been in a lot of prayer about things throughout that whole time. And
yeah.
God actually, it was actually a very creative, like very powerful miracle. I felt electricity. It was went on for days. I actually felt not only just the healing of my back, but this deep encounter with God's love and his grace and his joy. I remember waking up every day just getting into the Word. Felt like I was in the Acts of the Apostles, and I had did a lot of repentance, and just a whole lot of stuff happened. But I just felt this deep joy, and it's never left me. I still feel it. I still feel incredibly touched by God's grace. It's hard to explain. I can't
put
my
story.
Words on it. And as I was heading up, it was like I had no idea I was going to be in Taree. I didn't even know of the place. And I ended up there, and that's where this miracle happened. And it was very powerful, and it actually hasn't stopped. I feel like God's encountered me in so many different ways. So it's just pretty amazing.
Wow. I'd like to know where you're going to be in 5 to 10 years. Can you come back on? If I'm surviving still, I'd love to have you back on Open House to see how this unfolds. Carl, how would you respond to Sharon?
Sharon, what a great story. Thank you for calling. And I think what I really noticed about Sharon's story, which is fantastic, is that God's work in our life to heal and to act is not just so that we feel better. There's something deeper going on. You hear Sharon talked about her depth of a relationship with God, her sense of repentance, her growth as a person. That's the stuff I think that God wants to do in our lives. He doesn't just want to fix Sharon's knees so she runs faster and looks more impressive in a local sporting group. It's so that there might be some work of God's work in her life. Because really, what God is trying to do for us is I think, prepare each of us for eternity. I mean, that's the position. Can I just as a slight digression, Lee, there's an interesting story where God raises Lazarus from the dead. Do you remember that story?
Yes, yes, yes.
It's really interesting to ask, so why does Jesus do it? And it says,
why does he wait?
It says three times he's doing this so that people will believe. Now, the question is Lazarus alive today? Of course he's not. He's not alive today. So what does Jesus do for Lazarus? He acts to raise him again so that people would believe. But it was only putting off the inevitable.
Yeah.
I mean, Lazarus was eventually going to die. And so therefore, these acts are God's grace in miraculous ways to cause us not just to have a more comfortable life, but to have a deeper faith.
Sharon, I'm so glad you called. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I'd love you to keep in touch with us. Good on you.
I would definitely like to do
that.
Yeah,
thank
great.
You. Carl, on our Facebook page, Bryce says this about miracles. Great question. I think a helpful question to ask of the Bible is this. What was the purpose of miracles throughout the Bible? And to follow up from that one, do we now need miracles today in light of this, the original purpose?
Yeah, and it was kind of just what I was talking about there. I think the miraculous is God kind of intervening in human history to reveal himself and therefore to create, bring people to himself and to create a nation around himself, as it were. He did that with Abraham. He continues to do that through the nation of Israel. And there's a constant basis where he injects himself into history and people are drawn to him. Now, I think Bryce's point is getting at so that we now have the Bible, we now can think kind of rationally. If that's the case, do we not need miracles? And I think in some ways, I think that Bryce is right in the sense that there are a lot of other ways to us to access the person of God in our lives. Because if you think about a pre-Bible, pre-kind of church, pre-organized faith, there was no other way. So the only way was that God would interact in history.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean, I think, that therefore God has stopped.
Okay. Jeanette has called in from Strathmore. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Yeah. I just wanted to share my story.
Yeah.
As a 16-year-old, I gave my heart to the Lord, but along the way, I turned away from God. And I got married and had miscarriage after miscarriage and was told I'd never have children of my own. One day, I was sitting at the dining room table, burst into tears and said to the Lord, "Lord, I can't take this anymore. I want children. I love you. I want to come back." I rededicated my life to the Lord. 3 months later, I was pregnant with my daughter. I then lost another child between my daughter and my now twin boys. And I had a friend who prayed for me. And then within weeks, I was pregnant, and not just with one child, with twins. And so God's just really blessed me so much.
You've had three, yes.
I've had three children, wow. Yes.
Good on you. Thank you so much for your call.
No worries.
Thanks for your story. Blessing. Jeanette. And Jasmine's called in from Adelaide. Hi, Jeanette. Jasmine.
Hi. Just the other day, on Thursday, I was praying for a little baby girl who lives in Perth. She was the granddaughter of a lady who was at a prayer meeting, and she wasn't being able to eat her formula that she was being given. She was getting diarrhea and wasn't getting reflux and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a picture from the Lord to pray for intestines. So I prayed for every little part of her intestines and digestive system. And the next day I got a text from the grandma saying that the baby is now eating the formula and reacting to it fine. So praise God, he healed her. And I just want to say also, how can we contain God by just what we can understand? God is so much bigger than our minds and our hearts and what we can see now. So I believe in the miraculous and believe that God can heal today and that he commissioned us to go out and heal the sick and deliver people from demons and all that stuff. So,
Jasmine. Yeah, thank you so much for your call. Thanks for your story as well. Carl, I might get you to just hang in there for a tick for a break.
Sure.
And then we'll hear from a very prominent Australian on his amazing story. Across Australia, this is Open House.
Life, faith, culture. This is Open House with Lee Hatcher. A caring Christian study environment. That's Bedford College. With diploma courses in business, management and children's services completed in just 1 year, you can fast track your career or uni degree. Enroll in any Bedford course without an ATAR, plus vet fee help is available so there are no upfront fees. New courses begin April 29, so enroll now. And talk to Bedford about their Norwest campus opening next January. Station sponsor Bedford College. Visit bedford.edu.au.
It's great to know that you're needed. If you're a Christian music or dance artist, you're needed by CME Music. Churches are looking for you to help with their events, and CME Music is an online community for you to connect with churches, ministries, and Christian organizations. Yep, it's great to know that you're needed, but you also need to be found. So register today at station sponsor CME Music. For more info, head to cmemusic.com.au. Be seen, be heard, be found. CME Music.
Follow us online at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Little hands, shoeless feet, lonely eyes looking back at me. Will we leave behind the innocent?
On Open House, we're with Carl Faes from Olive Tree Media on his series, Towards Belief. Carl, we've been speaking about this well-known Aussie. This is Michael Willacy. It's quite a story, isn't it?
Absolutely. Michael Willacy has been a household name in Australia for years, Logie Award winner, and while he grew up a Catholic, has spent, he would say, 35 years away from that. And later in his life, the last number of years, he's really come to a place of faith. And that happened for a few different reasons. One of them was the fact that he did a story for Fox News in America where they asked him to go to South America and do a piece on stigmata. Now, before we start, stigmata is where people at a very specific time, at the right time of day, actually bleed from the places that Jesus bled from. Now, this is it's hard to kind of theologically get your head around it. There are a lot of people that have struggled with it, but here is Mike Willacy and what happened to him.
We simply did not understand, but I took a chance and I said to the Fox Network, yes, we will get the stigmata. I don't know why I was so stupid, really, so risky, so faithful, especially having been away from the faith. I just knew that would happen. And even without realising the significance of the date. And we went back there and it's understood that the Passion of Jesus started at midday and finished at 3 p.m. We had two cameras. We were sitting there. I was sitting right next to her. And at 12 p.m., a dot of blood appeared on her forehead. Then another, then another, then another. And then the whole stigmata. And by 3 o'clock, she was dying. A doctor said, if I didn't know what was happening, I'd say this patient is finished. Her lungs were filled. She had two women helping her to breathe. It was an experience that you just can't forget. And I was a skeptic. I was the guy who'd gone there and done the first bit of research and said, no, I think there's something here. Those writings are beautiful, but not enough for me to do a story. And I ended up doing the story for the Fox Network, and we had 28 million people live that night watching. And stories, I mean, back page of one newspaper in the States had a famous footballer, you know, converting. It was a message.
I mean, the amazing thing is you've got 28 million people, as you say, famous footballers making a response. But I guess the key issue is that something happened for you in that moment. Is that right?
No. No, I was so sceptical. I was watching every little thing. What could be wrong? Where could I be tricked? You know, like, that was me, you know. But I'd been going through a period of, I'd have a shower in the morning and the year leading up to this series of events. And I would say, God, I don't know if you're there, but I hope you are. And if you are, I need a hand. So I'd started, and I have a very firm belief that if you open your heart a little bit to God, he'll do the rest.
Yeah.
It's a very emotional Michael Willacy.
You know, this thing has touched his heart enormously. And I really, there's so much about that interview I liked, in not only that piece, but the whole piece. But the bit where it's not like he's got it all sorted out. It's not like he's saying, no, I've got my life sorted out. But he's just saying, you know, standing in the shower saying, if you're there, I need your help. But recognizing that God did help. But the miraculous was a key part of that. Not just the stigmata. There was a plane crash in Africa that he survived.
Yes.
And before he got on the plane, he knew it was going
to
happen.
And it has to be said that he is known as not a fool. He hasn't made the considerable reputation and the amount of money that he has in his life by being an idiot.
And even when I said to him the question, where I said, oh, that's really changed you, and he's like, well, no, it didn't. Such a skeptic.
Unlikely answer.
Yes. But it's in reflecting on all of that, that he shifted where he stands.
Yeah. So someone else you spoke with is Craig Keener.
Yeah, Craig Keener is Professor Craig Keener, teaches at Ashbury Theological Seminary in Kentucky in the United States. And he was doing a commentary on Acts, and there was a piece in The Miraculous. He thought he should write about it. So his footnote went to 200 pages, figured that was probably more like a book, started writing the book, and stopped at 1,200 pages.
Oh.
And he's dealing with The Miraculous. Okay. And here's Craig Keener talking about The Miraculous.
Part of Hume's argument against miracles was that only, quote, ignorant and barbarous peoples believe in miracles. Now, if somebody said that in the 21st century, we'd rightly call them an ethnocentric bigot. And Hume is well known for his racism. I mean, he denied that there were intelligent people of color. His arguments in support of slavery continued to be used a long time after Hume. I mean, Hume was brilliant in some ways, but in other ways, you know, he definitely was not a multicultural person. And I really believe that listening to other cultures that haven't been shaped by this prejudice of Hume and others who shared it would really help us to be able to see things from a different perspective.
One of the struggles that we have is that God, in acting in a miraculous way, doesn't necessarily work in a way that seems logical to us. You've experienced that yourself, haven't you?
Yeah. Miracles, by definition, are not predictable. You know, you'd think... I've had some people say, well, why aren't there more of them in medical journals? And of course, there are a few, but you don't have a lot of them in medical journals because scientific journals deal with what's replicable. That's what science is supposed to deal with. I mean, it's good that science deals with that. But human relationships are not always replicable. We have to use a different approach to understanding when we look at human relationships. And how much more when we're dealing with a God of infinite knowledge and infinite wisdom. In my own life, my wife and I have been through 7 miscarriages. And other things. Saying that God does miracles doesn't mean that miracles happen all the time. And in fact, a biblical understanding of miracles are just a foretaste. They're just a sample of the promise of the future, of God's kingdom where there'll be no more tears, no more death. It's just to let us know that God loves us in the meantime.
That's Craig Keener. And well, bring it on.
What I love about Craig Keener is here is a guy that has written 1,200 pages, has surfing God in the world. He's got his head around the whole concept of miracles, and yet in his own life there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of kind of questions. The David Hume thing, I probably should say to listeners that David Hume was a guy that was a Scottish philosopher. He Yes. lived in the 1700s, in the early to mid-1700s. And he had a view, which is actually still quoted today, which is why we asked Craig Keener about David Hume, which was that miracles don't happen. And his view is this whole idea, a sort of circular argument, that he defined a miracle as a violation of the law of nature, and he defined a law of nature as something that can't be violated.
Gotcha.
Which is a circular argument, yeah, says right. that there can't possibly be a miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
And he even went on to say that, for instance, no time in history has ever a person come back from the dead, so therefore there's no such things as miracles. And yet, here is Hume flying in the face to what we actually believe.
Okay. Carl Faze, always great to talk. We'll see you next week in Towards Belief on the question of, is the Bible trustworthy? One of the most critical questions, I think. Thanks so much, Carl.
Look forward to it.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.